It's always hard when you spring forward 1 hour. It's like your body's out of sync. You know, you're an hour off schedule. Things aren't connecting the way you'd like them to. You know that song, Let the River Flow, and the other songs that we sang, also dealing with, you know, reaching out to other people and ministering to them is exactly what God has called us to do. I have a simple message this morning. Amen, huh? Simple message. And my daughter tells me that as she's been going to different churches, checking churches out, that she's finding that a lot of churches are using one or two, maybe three, maybe four scriptures, and that's it, and their worship, and then their message, and that's just the way, that's a contemporary style. And she's used to me using 35 and 40, so today we're going to be somewhere, you know, less than half of that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you will just bless each heart. Help us to hear the message that you have clearly. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you'd present it and communicate it in a very defining and enlightening and reminding manner. And may you be glorified by it, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Simple Truth About Life. Now, people can probably take that all over the place if you wanted to, because everybody has a perspective about life and how they view it and what their priorities are. But from a biblical standpoint, I picked out four different points that are the simple, basic principles of a life. And it might just help encapsulate in our minds what we're supposed to remain focused on, other than the fact that we already know we keep our hearts and our minds and our eyes and everything else focused on the Lord. And being in His Word. So there's four simple points here I want to share with you, and so we'll just go ahead and get into that. The first simple point is, remember, life is short no matter how long you live. That's a debatable statement, possibly. Let's go from the long life spectrum. Say you live 103 years, and you say, well, you know, we lived a long life. Say you're a Christian and followed the Lord 103 years, you'll live a long, good life. But one of the things that I've learned in working with senior adults and convalescent homes and things like that, or just people that are getting older, saying, you know, where did life go? You know, it just poof, it just seems to be gone. And in one way, you can look at the chronological time frame of the years that have passed and you say, well, it's been a long life. But in another way, you say it's gone by so fast that it almost slips out of your hands. And can compare it to time as we know it, you know, 100 years is nothing, right? In essence, you know, compared to the thousands of years of time. And so we're to remember that life is short no matter how long you live, because That is a motivating statement that says, this is the life that I have now, no matter how long or how many days that God has given me to live on this earth, which are, by the way, preordained by God, that we should live it to the fullest for Christ. It's a simple truth about life. Okay, the simple truth about life is, one, we should live it to the fullest for God. Okay, because life appears and it disappears. It's here, and then it's gone. And we need to remember that. James 4:14 says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring or what your life will be, for you are a bit of smoke that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Now, the times of the year in Kalinga, as we're commuting across the farmlands, and you see the fog settle in, and you think, okay, it should be afternoon or by the latest. Typically, the fog is burned off, it's lifted up, but it was here, it was really thick, and then it's gone. It's a good way to look at life, that life is just so fragile, and it's here, and it's gone. It's quick, and then it passes. And so, how we live for the Lord, we need to be committed to just living for Christ, as He would have us to. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:21, it says, for me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. So, you know, my personal testimony is that as a young Christian, hearing that verse that life is like a vapor just reminded me, boy, you better be serious about your life for Christ because it's short. In other words, don't mess around. Be committed, be focused, be serious, because it'll pass very quickly. Second point is that be a sweet smelling fragrance to the Lord. How do you and I do that? How do we become a sweet smelling fragrance to the Lord? Well, there's probably a number of ways. One would be, you know, being faithful to the Lord and being committed to Him and following Him on a daily basis and giving our life to Him and being the people that God has called us to be. But I keep thinking about oranges. You know, if I take an orange and roll it really good on a table or whatever, and the oils and the rind of the orange start coming out, you start smelling that orange, right? And so that's a sweet aroma, but it came by pressure. If you go to the store, you can find products, and even, what was it, a couple months ago, we had in August, we had some crayons melt in the back seat of our car that we didn't know were underneath a car seat, and sat there for 2 days in the heat, and they just permeated everything. So I went to this I went to this car cleaning place, and I said, hey, you got anything to take crayon out? She goes, well, you know what, this orange solution will do that. And so I sprayed it, and I used about 2 rolls of paper towels and absorbed and absorbed and absorbed and absorbed, but it got it out. But that came from an orange. You know, the cleaning solutions that come out of an orange, but as it's refined. Well, if you parallel that to your life and my life in Christ, that if we're going to be a sweet aroma for the Lord, that we need to allow Him to put us through the orange press. We need to allow Him to squeeze us into new circumstances or to walk us through the difficult circumstances or to be stretched or however to really manifest who we are in our commitment to Christ. Because I'll tell you the truth, when we're under pressure, we'll see our true colors, won't we? And so as we see our true colors for who we are and our commitment to Christ, we should be desiring and we should be seeing, based upon our hearts being right with Christ, a sweet aroma, a right reaction, a godly reaction to the circumstances that we're facing. And so, again, we see here in Philippians 4:18, it says this, but I have received everything in full, and I have in abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant, that's the point I want to look at, a fragrant offering, a welcome sacrifice pleasing to God. Paul is saying, look, you know, he's in a situation where he needed some assistance. He was not focused on the assistance. He wasn't focused on money. He wasn't focused on that type of thing. But the people and the Christians in these poor churches were collecting money to help meet the need for that pastor. And so in doing so, it was a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was pinching them. But Paul looked at that love sacrifice, because they did it out of love for him and for the Lord, of course, that as he received that offering, he was more excited about the fragrant witness, the sacrifice that was made, the hard attitude behind it, the good things that he saw in their attitude that brought glory to God. And it was referred to like a fragrant offering, a welcome sacrifice that was pleasing to God. So when we have hardship in our life, we should let the true character of what our relationship with God is like be seen, and it should reveal a pleasant aroma through those hard times. And so it's easy to praise God, to worship God, and to be the person that God wants you to be when things are going great. But when things go lousy, we see who we are, and we have to rely on God and depend upon Him. And in doing so, we become that sweet aroma to the Lord. So the first point was, remember, life is short, no matter how long you live. The second point is, be a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord. Basic principles to our walk with Jesus in this life, however long or short that life might be. The next is that we're to seek peace only God can give. Now that's a little bit more difficult. When we're facing circumstances in our life that are challenging or that are out of our control, that are threatening to us, that we don't know how we're going to deal with, we don't know what the outcome is going to be, we're totally intimidated by the situation, And we look at it, and again, I've often, in my own walk with the Lord, I've said, it's like, I've gone to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, I said, Pharaoh's on his way again. I can see his horses, and I can see the army, and my back's up against the Red Sea, and you got to do something, because there's not much time here, and if he comes in that short amount of time, boom, it's over. You got to take care of this, Lord, right? And as we rely on him and we seek his face, it means the person of Christ, the character of Christ, a meaningful, deep, personal relationship with him, that through that seeking him out, that on our face before him or in prayer before him, that we hear the counsel of the Holy Spirit, because he is our counselor, and we hear him say to us whatever it is that we need to hear that allows our inner being, our inner down deep in our soul, go, okay, peace. See, only God can give that, but it takes an effort for us to pursue that type of counseling from God. I don't think, you know, whenever I've had, there have been times when God has just given me a sense of peace that I've not sought out. But most of the time, it's me seeking him out to hear his voice to gain that peace. He wants us to pursue him. And so seek the peace only God can give. In John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, Jesus said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Your heart should not be troubled or fearful. But are there times that we're troubled about circumstances or afraid about what's forthcoming? And we're out of that control, and we don't know what we're going to do, and all that type of stuff. And we have to relinquish it to our Lord and trust on him. And yet God says, I can give you peace, not the peace that the world gives. What's the peace that the world gives? The world says, look, if you've got a large bank account, you've got your monetary needs met, and you've got health, you've got peace. Well, there might be a faction of peace there. I mean, sure, all of us would like that, right? But it's not that inner peace that comes from the Lord that only he can give. And so if we can learn to identify that peace that comes from the Lord as we follow him, then whatever circumstance, whether it's fruitful or unfruitful, we can know that our dependence is on him and the peace that he gives us and not on the things of the world around us, which is the wrong focus. And so peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. We have peace because as Christians, we know where we're going to go when we die. Absent from the body, present from the Lord. And I may sound quirky, but I hopefully you think the same way. And maybe you don't, but I look forward to that day. I'm not dreading that day. I look forward to the day when God says, come on up here. It's time. What I dread is I don't want to leave my family and my friends because I don't want them hurt. But if it wasn't for them, hey, take me now, Scotty. But, you know, he's not Scotty. He's Jehovah, God Almighty. But you know what I'm saying. I look forward to the experience of being raptured or transfigured at the resurrection or just when my tent lays down. You know, this body's called that tent. And we all have fancy tents and we have tents that are put up with duct tape like I have. But one day the tent will be let down and we'll be in the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful time to think, what is it going to be like to transport to be in his presence and have those angels escort us? And so I look forward to that. And we have that peace and assurance. But in our walk with Christ, we should pursue a daily peace with him, especially when we're challenged beyond what we are capable of handling. And I think that's the best place that we can develop those strong relationships with the Lord. The fourth thing is, aren't you glad I'm already on number four? God is good, isn't he? I almost said this is going to be a bullet message, and every time I do it, it becomes too long. It's been a long shot. But we're here, but it's God's word, and it's simple. And that was the point of the message, to be simple this morning. The fourth point is know, live, and share the hope of Christ. First of all, we need to know Christ. If you're not here and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to. You need to know the Lord because the Lord loves you and he died for you and he wants to have a relationship with you and he wants to give you that eternal security of knowing that when you die, you go to heaven. but he also wants to have a rich relationship with you, as he does with each one of us. So we should know him. We should also live in the hope that we have. We kind of touched on this last week a little bit. You know, the spiritual armor, the helmet of salvation. Remember who we are. We're saved. We're the body of Christ. We're the lively or living stones that have been placed in a holy spiritual temple. We're part of Christ and he's in us. We're in him. And we are to live knowing the hope. And you've heard it said before from this pulpit that hope, as we might perceive in the English language, is something that we hope or wish will happen. But hope in the scriptures is hoping in the promise that has already been secured for us. And so there's a different kind of a hope there. And so we should know Christ. We should live in that hope that we have. We have his power. We have his presence. We have all the knowledge and wisdom that we want if we ask him in any given situation. We can ask and say, Lord, I want you to increase my knowledge of you. I want a greater, deeper understanding of you. I want to have that much more wisdom, the knowledge and wisdom and understanding. All we have to do is ask God for those things genuinely, and he'll give those to us. But know, live, and share the hope. We're comforted in knowing who we are in Christ, but there are a lot of people that don't know Christ, and we need to let people know and not be afraid to tell people that God loves them and he's interested in them, and he knows exactly where their life is. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3 says, "We must therefore pay even more attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. For if the message spoken through the angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him." Let's look at the first part of that. "We must therefore pay even more attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift away." It's our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility to be attentive to the things of God, attentive to his spirit, attentive to his word, attentive to our heart attitude and our relationship with him, and keeping ourselves close to him and the things that we learn in him through his word, by his spirit and life experiences, which, by the way, does not ever contradict the word of God, but they work hand in hand, that we should not forget those things, and we should remember who he is, what he's promised, what he's done, what his word says, what we've experienced in him, and keep that task and be focused on Christ as we follow him. So we won't drift away. Verse 2 says, "For if the message spoken through the angels was legally binding," the angel, heaven opened up and the angels declared that the Christ was born, right? In the birth of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit descending on Christ at his baptism. And we hear the Father's voice. "This is my son, and I'm well pleased. Do what he says." So we hear the legally binding. Where two or three are gathered, it's by Jewish law, that was legally binding. This is who he is. And so we have the message of the gospel. We have the message of God's son. We have the message of our relationship with Christ through faith in him that we need to share with one another. "For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment," you and I are off the hook when it comes to being punished for sin. We take that for granted. We know it, it's registered, we know that the slate is clean through the blood of Christ. When the Father looks at you and I, he sees us through the blood of Christ as being absolutely clean, past, present, and future. But there are many people out there that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior who will have to stand before God and not only give account of their life, but will have to give account of their sin and will live in eternity separated from God, paying for that sin that will never end. That would never, ever, ever, ever end. And it's a horrendous, agonizing, dark, lonely, scared place, and God is not there, separated from God. That's horrible. On the other hand, you and I, as believers, will need to remember that life is short and that we need to live our lives for Christ, because we will be judged by how faithful we are to God, how we've responded to his leadership in our life, how we've said, "Lord, I've heard what you said, and I've shook my ears and said, no, and I don't want to hear you, or I've received you with an open heart. And I said, yeah, I want to, I will die to myself. This is difficult, and I will allow myself to be stretched in you, and I will follow you because that's what I want to do, and that's because also because I love you, and also because I don't belong to myself no more, and I belong to you, and my life I give to you. So if you call me to do something, and even though it's challenging, or I'd rather not do that, then we need to think about that, because we'll have to stand before God and answer for that one day. And I honestly, my personal opinion is that in heaven, that we will have tears at the judgment seat. We have tears for the lost that are separated from God, and we have tears for our own foolishness for not being faithful at times. And so we need to be careful how we live for the Lord. Verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? You know, if God has provided a way of salvation through his son Jesus, giving up his own son, which is in essence with something our finite minds don't understand, is God himself in the flesh dying for you and I, that we might have a relationship with him. There's no deeper, greater, grander, most sacrificing event in all of world history or in the future that will ever come. That is the greatest price that ever could be given. And if people say, well, I don't want to accept Jesus, I think what he did was foolish, it was a lie, then that is scary. And that's what Paul's saying here. How will we escape if we neglect a great salvation? Some of you here, I think everyone in this room that I'm aware of are Christians, to my knowledge. But there will be many that will be hearing this message that maybe don't know Christ as their Savior. And in that, if you hear the gospel and you say, I don't want it, you know, how are you going to escape the judgment of God? You're not. And at such a great price that God had given his own son, and to reject him is the highest of offense to the Father. And so we need to make sure that we know him, that we live for him, and that we are willing to be sharers of the hope that we have in Christ. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Father, this is my son at his baptism, right? The angels declared a Savior had been born at his birth. The gospel's carried out through the apostles as God had taught them, and as Jesus taught them on the face of the earth. And from generation to generation, the truth of God's word has been passed down and entrusted to the church, which is you and I. That's a serious entrustment. And you and I are the ones who hold that torch of light to pass it on. We know the truth in John 14:6. Jesus told them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's a great security in knowing that who we believe in and what we believe in, the Word, which is also Christ, for the Word became flesh, right? As we rely on God's Word, we rely on our relationship with Christ, that we're actually building our life on something that's not a hit-and-miss option of life, like some people will choose a buffet of which way to stock their faith or commit their energy and time into and hope that it's the right decision. We are assured that by the very Spirit of God that Jesus is truth, and therefore we can be confident in building our lives on him. Psalm 119:11, a very familiar passage, says, I have treasured your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Is there a time where we think in ourselves, well, when I was a kid, we had Bible drills, and I learned my verses, and I applied it to my life. But as an adult, that's childish things. I don't need to do that no more. Well, I'm terrible at memorizing verses, but I tell you what, being in the Word of God instills the principles of God's Word in my heart. So we have a responsibility to be in God's Word all the time. And I say all the time as a general statement, that should be part of our lifestyle. We will each be judged by Christ. We are either saved or forgiven, or we are lost in sin. We are to live our lives surrendered to Christ. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. That's not the goal. That's the beginning. That's the, you know how when you start a race and they got those little stompers, a little place you put your feet on so you get a good footing and then you take off? This is the starting place. That we are, if we're going to follow Christ, it says, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. And secondly, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Isn't it awesome that you and I can know God's will? Like, we recognize God talking to us. We know what God's will is and how he's leading us. We can identify it clearly. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, that sounds cool, but I'm not sure I know how to do that. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we'll be able to identify that type of relationship with Jesus. And we're to share the hope we have in Christ, Romans 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Meaning all people have an opportunity to hear the gospel, the message of salvation through God's people. Through God's people. So what are those 4 points? First, remember, life is short, no matter how long you live. 2, be a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord. 3, seek the peace only God can give. And 4, know, live, and share the hope in Christ. The hope in Christ is what we look forward to, as I said earlier, with the assurance and promise of God's word. It's not in vain, it's not empty, it's not shallow, it's real. So in conclusion, life is short. Live it to the fullest in Christ. Simple message. Good reminders. Kind of like little what I might call little cues. Remember, do this as you are living your life. And you'll keep on track. And you'll be the person that God wants you to be. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word and for each one here. I pray, Father, please, that you'll help us to just love you more, to evaluate our lives before you on a regular basis, and make sure that we're in your will, doing your will, following you, walking in step with you, not spending any of our life outside of you. And that we are being the people that you've called us to be, that you might be glorified in and through our lives, and that we might be that sweet-smelling aroma because of our faithfulness and our commitment and our surrender and our even dying to ourselves and living unto you. And I pray, Father, please, that you would just compel each one of us to be that type of child of God that just is utterly in love with you, and only wants to be all that you have for us to be, only wants to do what you want us to do, and only wants to love you with a pure and upright heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.